Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Joy Keys, your host of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/Joy Keys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And now I'm on Instagram. Yeah, lots of cool pictures. You can tag me in a photo, and you might win a prize. I want to say thank you to all the listeners. Thank you so much. We're close to 1 million downloads of the podcast. Wow. Can't believe you guys are going to listen to my crazy voice on Saturday mornings and sometimes during the week. But, again, I just wanted to say thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Well, right now, I'm speaking to another filmmaker. Today is the film day. I just got off the phone with filmmaker Byron Hurt, his film dealing with hazing. And now I'm speaking with a filmmaker from across the pond, if you will, Denis Bondelet. He's not only a filmmaker, he's a playwright and a novelist. He has written many books, and now he is venturing again into film based on a story, Half of the Yellow Sun. Good morning, Denis.
Good morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being willing to do the interview.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Wow. So you're all the way in England. So right now it's afternoon, so I should say passant, yeah?
Yes, it is afternoon. It's about 5:30 in the afternoon here right now.
Yeah. So,
and raining, too.
Oh, and raining. Is that a surprise? You're in London and it's raining? I don't think that's a surprise.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this. You adapted, was it 500-some pages of Adichie's book, Half of a Yellow Sun. And, you know, when I remember reading about her book and thinking about, you know, this book is about war. Do I want to read about war right now? I don't know about that. And then the movie came out, and I was like, a movie about war in Africa. Oh, God, I don't know if I can do this again. But then I saw the movie, and I was like, this is a love story.
It is a love story, yes.
Yeah, you know, that it was like, okay, I can watch this.
Yeah, it's a love story set to the backdrop of the war, of the Biafran war, but it's not a conventional war movie to the extent that it's not set on the battlefront. It's not about soldiers. It's about ordinary middle-class people getting on with their lives during a war.
So let's talk about a little bit about your background. You were a writer first, and then you ventured into film. I was listening to some other interviews, and you watched Bollywood movies when you were growing up. And it's funny because I used to make my daughter watch Bollywood movies, and then she started liking them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably the first 1,000 movies I saw as a kid were either Bollywood movies or Hong Kong Kung Fu movies. And then much later, I came across movies from other parts of the world, but that was much later. And it was fun. I still have a fondness for this.
Yeah. So now, I was reading that, how did you decide what to take from the book? Because, again, it's like 500-some pages or so.
What parts
did you decide? You know, you condensed so much. I mean, do you feel like you lost things?
I did.
Do you feel like you added stuff?
No, I didn't. I didn't actually add anything. I mean, it's such an epic book. The story is quite epic in scale. But I knew that I wanted to make a movie that would be about 2 hours long. And what you generally do when you adapt a book of that scale into a movie is you find the ideal short story version of it, the short story in it. You essentially distill it, and that's what I did. I also had several really powerful characters that I fell in love with. The sisters, played by Annika Nonioros and Tandy Newton, the houseboy is quite a presence in the book, and he is also in the movie, and the husbands and boyfriends of the sisters, Stuart and Edgar Four. So I decided to concentrate on those major characters, and it took a few years to kind of get the script right, but eventually I was able to get something that I was happy to go into production with, and the cast, you know, is amazing. They're really great in the movie.
Oh my God, the cast is absolutely exhilarating. I mean, you could feel the pain, you could feel the joy. It's like you wanted to touch them through the screen. I mean, the actors, of course, are amazing. Chiwetel is amazing, and Tandy. I mean, Tandy is just so raw. She is a very, that is the word I will give her. She is a raw actress, and so that rawness against Chiwetel, and then Aniki Nanyarose, who's such a stoic character, stoic, you know, sister, is awesome. Now,
absolutely.
Let's also talk about, you know, we said this is not a movie about war, and it's not a war movie, but I will say, I have to say, maybe you're in a bit of denial, because you wrote a book about the Burma incident, and now you're doing this movie, and you say,
well, you know what
happened? War. So are you in denial about it?
You know what happened was, I was writing my novel when Chimamanda was writing hers, and we met at a literary conference about a year before Happily Edison was published, and she told me about her book. I told her about mine, and I joked when she told me about her book that I thought, because I was actually already at the time making short movies. I had already decided I wanted to direct, and I said it sounded like the basis of a powerful movie. And when the book came out a year later and I read it, I saw a movie, and I fell in love with it, and I saw a movie in it. And I got in touch with her. And the journey of taking the book to the big screen started then.
I just wanted to bring that up, that maybe, you know, I don't know, he doesn't realize what's going on here, this little trend. You know?
Well, you know, my dad was actually a soldier, so...
Yes, I wanted to say that, you have that in your background.
So...
And also your brother, I think it was. Your brother...
I had a brother he joined the army the year I was born, which was the year the Biafra war started. And so I never got to know him. He died in action. But he was quite a presence in my childhood, because my mom was always talking about him, and I always expected him to walk in any time, even though I knew from my dad that he died.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit. I want to mention, some people may not be familiar with the Biafran War. Close to maybe 3 million people died. It was, to some people, ethnic cleansing. To others, it was, I guess, people grabbing political power for resources and land.
It was all of those things.
Yeah. Some people blame the British. Some people blame the Hausa. What is your perception? Why was there a war?
It was a civil war. I don't know about blaming the British or anyone else. I mean, the fact is, it was Nigerians fighting each other, and various foreign powers took sides. And the war lasted nearly 3 years, and millions of people died. But the country came back together at the end of the war. Came back together without actually dealing with the causes of the war, so that today over 40 years after the war, Nigeria is actually more divided than it was before the war started.
Yes.
But that's a different story. That's another story.
Let's talk about this love story. Let's go back to the love story part because, you know, I think Adichie definitely is a feminist. I definitely think she, and she gives credence in her book to different writers that she credited, you know, like Buchi and Macheta and Chinua Achebe.
Yeah.
And, you know, Buchi and Macheta had some very strong female characters. And in the film, there are three... In the book, the film,
yeah,
the three females, you know, the two sisters and even the mom.
The mom, yes.
You know, the mom, I think that they represent people in society. And then if you go to how art is a form of,
yeah,
activism, you see, I don't know, do you agree with that art can be a form of activism or speaker?
Oh, yeah,
can't,
I mean,
in real life, you know?
It could be. I mean, but I knew those characters in real life, so I just had never seen them on the screen before. African characters,
mm-hmm,
like that, women. I mean, there,
yeah,
are. You go to any African country, and you know, there are thousands and thousands of people like that, and that was actually one of the motivations for me for wanting to make the film.
Let me just mention to the audience that, the, you know, the different characters, it's like, one, the mother decides to stay. Many people decide to stay in their homes and not give up. And then there were people who wanted to flee or continue to live in their bougie lifestyles away from and be in denial. I think that was Aniki LaRose's character. And then there was Connie Newton's character, you know, and she was entrenched, I feel. Maybe, to some degree, I felt bad for her a little, like, she was saying because she loved her husband, but then,
yeah,
such grief, like she didn't want to ask her family who had money. They would have been willing to help her, you know? She was like,
oh, they were, but she knew where she stood. She didn't want to,
yeah,
go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think also that the character actually, at that point, during that stage of the war, actually believed that, didn't quite believe that there was going to be full-scale war.
Mm.
I just thought the country would separate and everything would go, it would be business as usual. So she was, I think, a bit naive.
Yes, I think so. I definitely think so. And that's just a representation of people in that instance. And let's talk about,
yeah,
a crazy thing that happened while you were filming. I heard people got sick. You got typhoid?
Tandip had typhoid, I had typhoid. Fortunately, every single one of us actually had been vaccinated. But the fact that you've been inoculated or vaccinated against the disease does not mean that you know cannot affect you if,
yeah,
you contract it. The difference between being vaccinated and not being is being killed by something like typhoid. So we all contracted it, but we recovered. About 40 members of my crew contracted it. Some had malaria as well. So it was quite a shoot to
put
in my
God.
Opinion.
And you still
but I wasn't
went
training for
film.
Anything. Oh, yeah. I mean, not a single member of my crew actually left.
Yeah.
Every single one of them stayed till the end. It sounds terrible. It sounds horrible when you say, "Oh, someone people are typhoid." But we had a lot of fun. I mean, I couldn't wait every morning to get on set. I was just marveling at the amazing performances I was getting from my actors.
Yeah, yeah.
So you know, it was great.
And it was also interesting about Aniki Nani-Rose's husband. His character representing, do you feel, the quiet, white or British colonial. I mean, he was kind of in the background. He really didn't say much.
Her husband, yeah, Richard. Yes.
Richard, yeah.
Yeah, I think Joe, who plays Richard, they have to play him. Richard chose to play him as a shy, rather introspective person. And that's actually the character that Chimamanda wrote in her book. and but you know, his part is also quite powerful, and I really like Joe's performance in the film. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times when I was quite moved by his story.
Yeah. Now, you know, there's a lot of cheating going on. There's a lot of scandalous things going on, and yet both couples decided to stay together after so much pain that they
absolutely.
Each other,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, what I liked, what really drew me to the book, again, I mean, so many things, but it was the fact that you had these characters who were very complex. They were not, like, clean-cut heroes, and they were not cartoon villains. They were people who were just very, very human. They were flawed people.
Yeah, yeah.
And we go on this journey with them. You know, the audience goes on a journey with them, and it's not, they're not easy to like. But I think we fall in love with them in the end.
I definitely didn't like Tuwiko's character. But then I felt bad for him, and I was like, "Oh, why am I feeling bad for him?
Yeah.
Oh my God, get away!"
Yeah.
Ugh, you know?
Yeah.
Because his
mom
tricked him.
There were times during the shoot when. Just before I shot the scene with Chiwetel in it, he would refer to his character and say, "What a guy! What a guy!" Like, you know.
Oh my god! Well, wow. You know, I could talk to you for a long time about your writing, about the film. Unfortunately, I know you have a limited amount of time. But I want to say thank you so much for sharing
your vision
of the book, and I hope that you continue to dissect, you know, work. Are you working on another writing? You said some kind of sci-fi, I heard, maybe?
I'm sorry?
I heard you're working on a book, like a science fiction or a futuristic book.
Oh, yeah. Okay, my God. You've done your research. Yes, I am. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I try to look into the background of my guests.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when is that coming out? When can we expect that?
Oh, not for a while yet. I'm also working on my next film, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say, O'Shea, for coming on today. Thank you so much for coming on. And you have a wonderful weekend over across the pond, okay?
Thank you.
Okay. Odabo.
Odabo. Okay, bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with filmmaker B. Bandele about the film Half of a Yellow Sun, a wonderful story, which is really a love story, but the background is the Biafran War that was very intense and affected. Actually, more than 3 million people died because of that civil war. You definitely want to check that out. You might want to do a little research to learn more about that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, we're fighting with each other. We look the same, we're fighting with each other. We need the same things, we're fighting with each other. We're being funded by people outside of our countries to fight against each other. It's a sad state of affairs. One of the things I wanted to mention, I didn't get to mention when I was talking to Bee, but his film was not allowed to open today in Nigeria. And so hopefully that will change. But there is still fear in the truth. People are still fearful to see the truth. It's a shame. It's similar with Byron Hurst's film about hazing. People are fearful to see the truth be brought to light. But thank you so much for tuning in today. You can follow me on twitter.com/joykeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. And also now I am on Instagram, as I said, so I'm Saturdays with Joy Keys on Instagram. Next week I'll be speaking with author Kimberly Lawson Rhody about her book, The Prodigal Son. So you can tune in next Saturday, which is the 12th at 11 a.m. Eastern. Again, thank you so much for listening this morning, and I hope that you have a wonderful Saturday. Please take care to wear your sunscreen. But thanks again for tuning in to my wonderful show. Have a great day.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin.
What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
Ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the get-up?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screenings.
The fight is over! Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to AHRQ.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to AHRQ.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.